What's up, KD Time friends? Welcome back to another episode of KD Time, that sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast for each and every podcast fan. I am your host, KD, and on this podcast series, I bring all kinds of topics to the table, from discussing culture, movies, TV shows, music, sports, food, and of course, general nostalgia. Join in the fun, share, and of course, subscribe wherever you are listening. But let's get to it already, right? All right, so in this episode, I have an amazing chat with the Dr. Janelle Perkins Muhammad. She speaks about her new book, Into Me See, and I had a great time talking with her. And I'm sure that you're going to enjoy this episode that's coming up right now.
KD Time listeners, I'd like to introduce you to a very special guest. Her name is Janelle Perkins Muhammad. She is a therapist, an author, and a speaker, and she's worked in psychotherapy and is a licensed family therapist with more than 20 years of experience in relationship and life coaching. She is the author of Into Me See, which is a book about mastering Black intimacy for the relationship you've always wanted. I was able to read a little bit about it, and I'm very happy to have her on the show. So welcome, Dr. Janelle.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Did I pronounce your name correctly? I forgot to ask that earlier.
Oh, that's okay. It's Dr. Janelle Perkins Muhammad.
Dr. Janelle Perkins Muhammad. Got it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Very nice. So, it's a pleasure to have you on, of course. Would you like to tell us more about yourself that I did not mention?
Sure. I think the biggest thing to understand is that I have a tendency to move from a spiritual space. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very spiritual family, and my parents were ministers. And one of the reasons why I even work in family therapy is because my parents were the head of our marriage excellence ministry and our finance ministry. And so as an only child, I got this bird's eye view, fly on the wall kind of perspective of how families functioned and how couples functioned. And the fact that many times they were coming in and out of therapy, if you will, or counseling, because they didn't do therapy. It was mm-hmm. more pastoral or Christian counseling. Mm-hmm. But many times people were coming back and forth on a regular basis for some of the same issues and concerns. Mm-hmm. And so I thought to myself as I got older, let me figure out why that's happening and what is it that we're missing? Because as a people, I feel like we have this incredible grasp for the spiritual nature, whether it's we're tree huggers or if we're loving Jesus or Buddha or whoever it is, we have a really great grasp on what that means for our core beliefs and values. And yet there was this component that was about the practical steps of how we communicate and how we emote and how we lean into our spirituality and leave the judgment of things off the shelf that I thought was missing. And so I went and got the theory behind the how-to so that mm-hmm. I could bring it to our community, and then got a doctorate because someone said to me one day, nobody's going to listen to you unless you are Dr. Reverend Bishop, the honorary. And I said, fine, for my people, I will pay the extra money so that we get this information because it's so transformative.
Wow. Wow. So are your parents still together?
My mom passed away 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Well, it'll be 10 years next year. But my dad's still with me. And so It's a pleasure and a joy to have him. I miss my mom dearly. You have no idea. We were super close. And of course, I don't think any relationship is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. So I know that they had their own tests, trials and tribulations, if you will. And at the same time, I watched them work through them in a way that gave me some of the helpful hints and techniques that I use even in my therapy room, because again, I'm a very spiritual person. So where the word is applicable for the couples that I'm working with, I always share how that word balances with the practical steps of what we have to do in today's society to manifest the most healthy relationships that we can.
Wow. You know, my condolences to your mom. I know it's been 10 years, but still, it's still, you know, something to send the condolences for.
I appreciate that.
So can you tell us a little bit about your journey? Like, I know you spoke a little bit about it earlier. If you like, what inspired you or motivated you to pursue therapy as a whole?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is so important is that we recognize that as a people, we don't have a tendency to really lean into therapy. So when you look at the statistics that have come out, even from like Blue Cross Blue Shield or the CDC, when they are doing research that doesn't, you know, tap into the medical side, because oftentimes we are not visible in that research. There's research out there that demonstrates that literally 43% of African Americans will not even make an appointment when they know that there's a mental health challenge happening with them. Like, they can see, feel that there's something that's not quite right. So 43% will say, never mind, I'm not going to take that route and make an appointment. And then when we stop and look at how many reach out to the religious organizations or community organizations rather than a specialist or a clinician, 35% of those who are diagnosed, we're talking about, right? So we're not talking about all African Americans, but those who are diagnosed will reach out to those organizations before they'll even begin to reach out to a clinician. And I'm not saying by any stretch that God cannot help, because I truly believe that prayer works in every area of life. What I'm saying that is, alongside that, we need an additional step sometimes. And that may mean that we have the diagnosis of anxiety or depression or whatever that looks like. And so my journey was, how do I get my people to the place where we're not only looking for the financial components of generational wealth, but we're looking at emotional and mental wellness. So one of my mottos is that the greatest generational wealth we can bestow is emotional and mental wellness, because without it, we basically blow the money, sell the property, end up with substance misuse and abuse, or have really maladaptive behaviors or dysfunctional relationships. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense if you're going to leave millions of dollars to someone that they have no idea what to do with it. So my journey was, how do I help us not only manifest the millions, but be healthy in how we invest it, how we leave it to the next generations, how we grow it, whatever that looks like, to do it in a way that's really healthy.
That makes sense, because I know, well, I'm still learning about like the history of Black Americans, because my upbringing and my general knowledge based off of public school and just because my background, like my family is all Caribbean. So like there's a little bit of a difference where I'm like, I don't know as much foundational history compared to like someone who might have had slave ancestors or anything like that. But I still think that in the Black community, it's really hard for us to be in healthy relationships and trying to pursue that as a people, even in just being, you know, being with a partner specifically, or even with our friends. It's just, there's always, you know, some type of negative influence in there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it could just be coming from us and we don't know it because it's like unconsciously happening or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I always say that every encounter, every engagement and every experience you have with another person is a relationship. So when I think of myself, like my friends call me the queen of intimacy. They call me the capacity expander, all these terms that they put on my person, which I only accept when I want to on that day. I have boundaries too.
Yeah, yeah.
But they call me these things because what I recognize is that even in the research that I did for this book and with the clients that I've been working with, there are generational barriers to the ability to build healthy relationships. And that simply means that we need to acknowledge them, dig them up, and figure out what we do differently. So in my book, which, look, I want to show it to you. Yep. Into Misi, Mastering Black Intimacy for the Relationship You've Always Wanted, I talk about how those experiences in childhood even impact what happens as an adult. And so sometimes there is a disconnect because you may be in a biracial relationship. It could be that you're, you know, African moving to America, Caribbean moving to America. There are some slight differences, of course, in your experience. Slavery in and of itself, the Black codes, Jim Crow, civil rights, and you keep going on and on and on, had such a tremendous impact that resonates today. That trauma is still in the DNA. And if we don't acknowledge that, and if we don't then recognize that there's also something we can do about how we think about it, how we feel about it, and how we behave around it, then we completely find ourselves like a hamster on a wheel, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And that's just not going to work.
Yeah, that's the definition of insanity.
I was going to let you say it.
Yeah. If we keep, we're like a hamster on a wheel with this, you know, we definitely would have to work on our triggers. We have to work on just like, you know, how to process things better. Cause it's all, like, it's like you said, it's just, you know, if we're going to continue in this route, we're never going to go anywhere. So, but I'm glad you segued into the book so we could talk about it, Into Misi. I know that it came out this year in January 2023. And I'll be honest, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I'm really glad that I have it so that I can read it when I do. Cause I'm not in a relationship right now. I'm a single Black female.
Not about being in a relationship right now. I tell people all the time, what did I just say? Every encounter, every engagement, every experience you have with another person is a relationship. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't do well in platonic relationships, if you don't do well with your coworkers and, you know, in your profession, it's not likely you're going to do well in romantic relationships. Those skills don't just get compartmentalized because now you're in love. In all actuality, the minute the emotionality shows up, oh my goodness, things could go haywire unless you've already begun to work on being emotionally intelligent, begun to work on the ideals of what do you really want and what does it look like and how do you function in what you want? And when do you say to yourself, I'll just take whatever comes my way? Prayerfully, never, right?
No.
There are people, obviously, who do. Yeah. And so it's important to recognize what your boundaries are, what your standards are. You speak of triggers and how those things show up in your lives. I call those triggers the behavior that comes after the trigger, if you will, adult temper tantrums. We are basically functioning out of sometimes the childhood abandonment, dismissiveness, feeling as though we had no voice. And now you're in a relationship with someone and they happen to say or do something that sounds or looks like what you've experienced in the past. And you couldn't throw that temper tantrum as a child because you get your butt toe up. right? Yeah. Well, now yeah. you're an adult, and what they say on
who gonna check you?
With who gonna check me, boo? Right? Who gonna check me, boo? Like you sitting around talking about say something, do something, and that's just an adult temper tantrum.
I feel girl, like, okay, like, yes, when I was a child, mm-hmm. that was definitely the thing. It was like, you could talk back, you could, you know, anything you said could be held against you, literally.
Oh, like a court of law. You know? Oh my gosh, yes.
And
I'm sure we're at least a generation apart, right?
Probably. So, you know, and then as I was getting older, and I'm just kind of like, wait, like, I thought adulthood was so different. Like, I thought it was so different, but mm-hmm. like seeing it up close, like seeing grown people throw adult tantrums, seeing grown people like act like 5-year-olds or, you know, mm-hmm. just like, I want it. Like, it's mm-hmm. unreal. Like, when I was a kid, I didn't see any of that, you know?
Well, you weren't allowed.
Right.
You know? So what you're seeing is us mm-hmm. act it out in adulthood, because now we act like nobody can tell us anything.
Right. Oy.
So it's being stuck in that space. And mm-hmm. one of the things I do in the book is I pull out this emotional context, right? The idea that there are a host of emotions that we don't really tap into and have mm-hmm. not taken an opportunity to fully understand, mm-hmm. because we're really only born with 6 emotions. That's fear, disgust, anger, sadness, happiness, and surprise. Mm-hmm. 6 emotions. That's all we got. And then after that, someone has to teach us the rest of them. Well, if you think about the fact that most of the emotional phases in which our predecessors, ancestors, whatever you want to call it, went mm-hmm. through, they were blunted. They weren't allowed to feel. They weren't allowed to know what it was to truly be sympathetic or empathetic, or mm-hmm. to have disappointment versus anger. And they weren't allowed that because during slavery time, you could only have the emotion that the master told you to have.
Right.
And then during the Black codes, you could not express your anger or emotion when someone came against you erroneously. It wasn't even right. But mm-hmm. you couldn't be angry because you could be killed.
Right.
You couldn't act out in any way to demonstrate your disappointment because you could literally be taken off the face of the earth. Then as we got through the places where you had Jim Crow, same thing, KKK, et cetera. Civil rights, we got a little opportunity to express ourselves, usually in music, poetry. You know, we had great philosophers who came about, the Harlem Renaissance. I mean, we started getting a voice, but it still wasn't until the 70s, late 60s and 70s, that you really got to see anger that was channeled into changing the community through things mm-hmm. like the Black Panther Party, other parties that came along, the NAACP, trying to channel the voice so that we changed our communities. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was taken from us by systemic, institutional, and structural racism. So all along the way, those emotional components of life that we could have spent time developing were completely blunted. And so now, we're seeing people discover what it is to be disappointed, what it is to have tremendous sadness, what it is to go through the grief process. I mean, the chart that I put in here gives you an opportunity to literally, I tell people, print it out, put it on the wall, on the refrigerator. And when you're feeling something, look at it, go through it. And, you know, right now I'm feeling destroyed. Mm-hmm. To feel destroyed is different from feeling hurt.
Yeah.
Very different, but it is a feeling to mm-hmm. sit with that and understand that, or to say, I feel celebratory, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
That's an incredible, that's different from happy.
Yeah.
So to tap into that, oof, mm-hmm. it's goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that chart in, I think, chapter one. I think it was in chapter one or chapter two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's early on because I wanted people to get to that part.
I was reading and I was just like, you know, I'm trying to also understand my own, like, my own relationships that I have and seeing how, you know, which ones I'm more emotionally invested in, which ones that are like, you know, they're there because I'm not ready to let them go kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so I was just reading and I'm just like, oh my goodness. And that has nothing to do with like the sexual part of it or, you know, it's like more mental. And I was just like, wow. Okay.
That's my point. And that's why everybody says you're the queen of intimacy, because I think about it differently. Mm-hmm. I don't think about it just from the sexual component. Now I want to get there. Don't get it messed up now. Let's not play. At the same time, I recognize that in order to truly have pleasure in getting there, you have to have tapped into these other areas as well. And it's not linear in its perspective. It's very circuitous in its route, right? So you might do well in, you know, at some point in the emotional component, because it's the cognitive, emotional, spiritual, and physical. So one day you might be all good in the spiritual side, doing pretty good when it comes to the emotional side, and maybe the physical side just isn't feeling it today. But there are points when they all kind of balance out. Mm-hmm. And the more you work with it and the more you do the regulation and the thought rebalancing and the rewriting of the scripts that you've been told and all of that good stuff, the more even it becomes. So you'll have smaller ebbs and flows instead of these great big dips and dives into emotionality that's unnecessary for a healthy relationship.
Okay. All right now. Sheesh. So I was wondering, because, you know, I do have a therapist and we're sort of talking through the relationships and whatnot. And she's mentioned to me that there could be some things that are blocking me that I developed in my childhood, which we had expressed earlier. And I was just wondering, you know, because you, in your book, you also mentioned something about like, it's not your mommy and daddy's relationship. Like your relationship won't be like your mom and dad's or be like, you know, be like your friends or your, you know, and all that. So I was just wondering why is it that we have those tendencies in the first place? Like what kind of reasoning do we have to do those things or like to hold on to that kind of like vision? Like, oh, I want my relationship to be just like this without really knowing everything about that relationship.
There's the key.
Okay.
There's the key. It's a learned behavior. You learn that something looks a particular way because it's presented to you in that way, right? Mm-hmm. So it has to be a good relationship because they've been together 50 years.
Because I was reading about like the couple, I think it was Sharetta and Samuel, and they were just, I could understand how a relationship would deteriorate because of the pandemic, because of COVID, and just how like the dynamics had changed. Before it was like, oh, I'm going to work all the time and then I come home. Now I'm working and at home and I got to take care of you and I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of the house. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, I was just seeing that in a different way. So that was pretty interesting to me.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, those learned behaviors that we experience in being in those families or around those friends is just that. It's a behavior. It's something we've been around for such a long time that we now say, oh, well, this is a part of my core beliefs and my core values. So now this is how I'm going to function. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that you may not want that. And the person that you decide to connect with, or your friend even, hasn't had the exact same experience. Y'all ain't grew up in the same house, probably not in the same neighborhood. More than likely, you didn't have the same mom and daddy. Prayerfully, right? So I'm just saying, right? So that would then mean that you're going to come each with a perspective on how you want a relationship to look. And your expectations, your boundaries, and your standards are going to be different. So you can't just take what your mom and daddy did and say, we're doing it this way, because the other person is like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't work for me. I would prefer if we had dinner together every other night and not every night, because some nights I need some downtime. Mm. If you feel rejected, then you have to check your own insecurities. That's tough for people, because a lot of people, particularly today, what they hear is, you're supposed to want to be with me. You should, you oughta, and why can't you? And if you ain't chasing me and I ain't, you know, I want to be pursued. And that, hold on. Mm-hmm. This could be a good person for each of you.
Yeah.
Let's figure out if it works. And if it doesn't, just let it go. Walk away. It's okay. Because there's going to be someone out there that it does work for.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in your book, you also, so the book is called Intimacy, and I know you briefly talk a little bit about it and like what it means and everything, but where did it originate? Like how, because you said you and your workplaces, like how did you get to that phrasing?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I think I was sitting in church quite some time ago. Gosh, a long time ago. And I was sitting with my then husband, and the comment came up by the pastor, I think it was, who said, intimacy is like into me see. You got to look at me. You got to see me. And then he gave scriptures behind it and so forth. And I was like, ooh, that's good. Well, years and years later, because the book was originally going to be The Business of Marriage, because they can look very similar if you do them well, and it can work because it can be a relational perspective, transactional perspective, but you just can't have more transaction than relation. So,
right.
So that was going to be the original title of the book. But the more I started to dig into some of the other components, especially the mental health component, I thought, ooh, this is bigger than even what he was talking about from an into me see perspective, because in my marriage, there was a mental health component that I could not begin to have imagined. And when it revealed itself, I was just like, oh, this is good. We can work on this. But the other person didn't want to, right?
Yeah.
So then I had to say, okay, well, now what do I do? Because now I have to make a decision as to whether or not that mental health, that mental illness is going to impact me more deeply than it already was. And so into me see is about going beyond the physicality,
right,
and seeing my cognitive space, what I have experienced in life, my emotional space, what I'm feeling, and whether I can be vulnerable and not judged when I express it. And then my spiritual space, what are my core beliefs and values that I can stick to them, honor them while I'm with you? Because that's going to make that physical far more pleasurable than performative.
Okay. I feel like you could be a preacher in another life if you really wanted to.
People say that to me all the time. All the time. I know the word. I love the Lord. I mean, and I know that I'm called to the work that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'd say mastering Black intimacy for the relationship you've always wanted. I'm really talking about digging deep into seeing what you want. And then asking the questions, because, you know, there are a lot of things we don't talk about. Like, we don't talk about sex like we need to. We just don't.
True.
We just figure everybody know how to do it. I'm not talking about the mechanics. I'm talking about desire and arousal. But we don't talk about that. We don't want to talk about it. We're afraid to talk about it. We weren't allowed to talk about it. Because I'll go back again. One of the barriers, generationally, Black people were used for the purpose of procreating for the master's good. So oftentimes we don't even think about it from a pleasure perspective, because it was always a performance.
Wow. Okay. Well, Miss Dr. Ma'am, oh my goodness. Okay. I mean, you know, you've given me a lot to take in, a lot to just to like sort of sit and process, because when I listen to this back, I feel I'm going to feel exactly how I feel right now, which is just educated and elated that I'm even able to talk to you in general.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on to the show. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have you back, you know, and, you know, if we could talk more about the intimacy, the different pieces of intimacy, the mm-hmm. whole, exploration of what it means to really be intimate and vulnerable with mm-hmm. a partner. That would be just.
And I do a lot of talks on dating too, because I have a 92% success rate for all the people who have come to me who are like, I want to be in a relationship. Give me a couple years. Follow what I'm telling you therapeutically. Do these things. And I'm sorry, it's going to happen. And sure enough, those who have stayed with me, 92% success rate. The other 8% decided they were going to do it on their own. And they find no prospects, but don't tell nobody.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh my goodness. Okay. that was great. Oh my goodness. I don't even know what to say right now. is there any other things you'd like to say, or like ways that the folks could find you that's listening?
Oh, absolutely. So my website is TMICounselingandCoaching.com. All one word, TMICounselingandCoaching.com. My Instagram is DrJeannelle. So Dr. Janelle. And my TikTok is DR.JeannelleLMFT, which is licensed marriage and family therapist. And then my business Instagram is TMI.counseling. So you can find me there. You can get the book. You want to go and get the book on Amazon.com, and it's a bestseller on Amazon. You definitely want to, it's a great read, if I say so myself. I was really pleased with the way it turned out, and I'm working on the second one already. So I hope you guys look me up, see what I'm doing out there in the community, because I'm always doing book signings all over the place, and it's always a lot of fun. I love talking about intimacy and relationships in all its facets, professionally and personally.
Awesome sauce. You heard it here on KD Time. That's Dr. Janelle. That's a wrap on this, but I'm so glad. Thank you so much again, Doctor. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Take care.
Goodness, I had a great time with her on the show, and I'm so grateful she was able to come on. You can definitely find her book, Intimacy, on Amazon. That's Intomecee. Intimacy, right? And you can learn more about her from the website as well as her social media outlets right there in the description. I hope you all felt inspired to learn more about being intimate. I know I did. On the next episode, I will be hosting my very first live event with the very awesome Sarah I. Fox. We'll be diving into the mental health field in the movie Matilda. Sarah is a very good friend of mine who also has a podcast called Rough Edges Podcast. I was on the show not too long ago and we talked about the movie Inside Out. And now she's coming onto my show, technically onto the live, to talk about Matilda. I'm so excited to do this live with her and to have her on the show. I am hoping to have the live uploaded to my podcast as well. So that's happening on Wednesday, August 23rd on Instagram. I can't wait. This would be a great time to follow your girl on Instagram at KD Time Podcast to make sure you get notified. Find my socials on Linktree/KD Time, and I hope to catch you next time. This is KD Time. Deuces.